Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and we're going to move through the end of the chapter and look at the first verse of chapter 4. Colossians chapter 3, 17 says this, "And whatsoever ye do, in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respecter of persons with God. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." You know, as I was reading through this passage of Scripture, I tried to think about what is the main point that is being communicated in this passage. So here is our summary statement for Colossians 3, verses 17 through the end of the chapter. Paul wanted the church to understand that no matter their role in society and in the home, the way that they lived mattered. And they had a responsibility to actively live out their Christian faith. In other words, even though I've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, and there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, the reality is how I live today actually matters. It's important. And really, this is the practical working out of what Paul has been developing really throughout the entire chapter. He began with the theological truths that are true about every single Christian. The fact is, when I placed my faith in Christ, old things passed away, all things became new. I became a new creature in Christ. And I have now the ability to live out the Christian life, to live out the fulfillment of God's expectations. I have the indwelling Spirit to enable me and to empower me. And so he talks about the theological realities that are true of every Christian. From there, he gets into these general instructions about how the Christian is to live out their Christian life. And they're to let the peace of God rule in their hearts, and their interpersonal relationships are to really flow out of a heart of love and mercy and graciousness and a willingness to forgive. And so now he's going to move from the big picture, the theological truths, to more specific, the kinds of emotions and the kinds of responses that we should have. And now he's getting into just practically how we live this out in our daily lives, in our homes, in our society, in our workplaces. And so let me give you a couple of things that I jotted down that are observations from these verses as we read this morning. The first observation is this: Paul addressed the full spectrum of relationships. I'm not saying that Paul addressed every single possible relationship that these people could have had, but he gives like the full spectrum. And really the focus is on the home life. So he talks about wives in verse 18. Verse 19, he talks about husbands. He talks about children. Verse 22, he talks about fathers. He talks about servants. He talks about masters. He doesn't talk about brothers and sisters. He doesn't talk about mothers. The reason that he leaves those out is not because he doesn't care about those relationships. He's simply stating, look, here is the big picture spectrum of the kinds of relationships that we have within the home. And the reason that he's doing that is to simply say, what you do matters. Your interpersonal relationships within the home and where you work, those relationships matter, and what you do matters. The second observation that we see is that he connects fulfilling each person's role in the home with their relationship to God. In other words, when he states, here's how a wife should relate to her husband, here's how a husband should relate to his wife, here's how children should relate to their parents, and all of those various relationships, when he gives the statement, he's always giving the statement in relationship not just to the person, but to God, and how your interaction with that person on this horizontal level actually affects your relationship to God, the vertical. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." And here's the phrase, "as it is fit in the Lord." In other words, it's not so much that the wife is focused on her husband and how she relates to him, but she's looking at the fact that how she relates to her husband really talks about how she relates to the Lord. In verse 19, he says, "Love your wives and be not bitter against them." And I can't help but look at the passage in Ephesians, the parallel to this, where it says that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And later on in the passage, he talks about nourishing and cherishing. But notice the fact that he says it's as he's emphasizing the relationship that we have to God, not just our relationship to our spouse. In verse 20, he talks about children and he says that we're to obey in a way that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Again, when a child's told you need to do this or don't do this, they shouldn't just think in relationship to mom and dad and the instructions they've given, but how does my relationship to mom and dad really emphasize how I'm supposed to relate to God? Verse 22, when he talks about servants, he says that they're to serve not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. In verse 23, he says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men." And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Give unto your servants just what is just and equal." And there's that phrase again, knowing that ye shall that you have a master in heaven. So in all of these relationships and his commands to those people in those relationships, all of them are connected not just to the horizontal relationship, but how the horizontal relationship should be a reflection of our relationship to God. We then come to a third observation. God's observing that that their circumstances. God was observing their circumstances, and he would appropriately reward both what was good and what was bad. You know, it is true that as a Christian, I will never stand before God and be judged eternally for my sin. There's no condemnation to me because I've placed my faith in Christ, and he has forgiven my sins. But that doesn't mean that I will never stand before God and that he will not judge me in the sense that he will evaluate whether or not I've been a faithful steward and minister of what he's given me. And he's going to emphasize this in this passage. He says that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. You serve the Lord Christ. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which is done. And there's no respecter of persons with God. Now, when Paul's writing that, he is writing that to Christian masters. He's writing to people who are believers, who have people who are under authority to them. When they came to understand the gospel and place their faith in Christ, their position in society didn't change. If someone was a servant, they continued to be a servant. They couldn't remove that situation that they were in most cases. When someone was a master and they had people that worked under them, they were in that position. And so Paul's basically saying, listen, the way that you relate to that person over you in authority and the way that you relate to that person under you in authority, you're ultimately going to stand before God and he is going to evaluate how you managed that authority or how you related to that authority. In other words, there's going to be a time where God rewards you for good and for bad. Observation 4. His instructions were an encouragement to those who were under authority and a warning to those who were in authority. Let me say that again. His encouragements, it was an encouragement to those who were under authority, and it was a warning to those who were in authority. And I think that if we look at this passage carefully, we will notice that he says a lot more on the level of warning than he does on encouragement. And you say, well, why is that? Wouldn't a person that's under authority need to be encouraged more than a person who's in authority needing to be warned? Well, I think what it indicates is that we have more of a tendency to abuse the authority that we have than we do to not properly relate to authority, especially when we take the situation and we look at it in the ancient world. A person who had authority didn't have checks and balances on the same level that we do in society today. And so he puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that the way that people in authority handle that authority needs to be very careful. Notice what he says. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, ye serve the Lord's Christ. There's an example of a person under authority getting encouragement. But that is the only one in the passage. Verse 19, he says, husbands, don't be bitter against your wives. The idea is don't be harsh toward how you relate to them. In other words, don't abuse the fact that your wife is not the head of the house. You are. You bear the responsibility. You better be cautious that you're not harsh in how you handle that authority. In the Ephesians passage, he says that we're to nourish and to cherish our wife. So when we see that a husband is the head of his household, this is not a domineering, arrogant authority. This is a nourishing, caring, cherishing, loving kind of authority where there's not a harshness there. In verse 21, he talks about fathers and he says, don't provoke your children to anger lest they be discouraged. In other words, he's saying, as a dad, don't be harsh with your kids so that they feel like they can never meet your expectations. They can never follow through with the things that you tell them to do. You're speaking in an angry manner because they're frustrating you. And hey, a lot of people are working from home these days. A lot of guys are doing work in the basement or on the side, and they're hearing a lot of noise in the house. And it's really easy in a situation like this for us to be harsh with our children. And so he gives that warning to the father and how he relates to his kids. Verse 20, 25, he says, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he's done. There's no respecter of persons with God. And he's basically saying, look, God isn't going to give you a pass because, you know, he gave you a position of authority. God's not going to give you a pass if you don't handle things the right way. He's going to speak to you about that matter. He's going to deal with you on that issue. And then chapter 4, verse 1, he makes this statement. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And he's saying, take care of those who work for you and treat them fairly. If you have people that are under your authority and you are managing, you're the boss in your working environment, treat those people fairly. And don't just treat them fairly, but treat them equally and justly. And be kind and gracious. Be a leader who handles your responsibility in a Christ-like manner. So we ask the question, how can we practically apply what we've talked about this morning? And, you know, there are some very practical things that I jotted down that as I thought about that, I said, this is what I need to ask God to help me with today. The first is this: theological concepts are meant to be lived out in our personal lives. I think a lot of times as a pastor, I'm constantly studying the Bible. I love to study the Bible. It's fun. It's exciting to dig into these truths. And, you know, in some ways, studying theology for a pastor can almost become a hobby. It's something that they enjoy, just like they enjoy working outside, just like some people enjoy sports, just like some people enjoy hunting and fishing. Pastors can enjoy studying theology where it fills their mind and they enjoy the academic rigors of studying the Bible. But the truth is that God doesn't want us to just have theological concepts in our head. He wants us to live out the truth in a practical way. The second thought that came to my mind is this: what I'm doing today matters. You know, how I relate to my kids today, it's actually important. How I talk to my wife, how I relate to those that are under my authority today, it matters. God sees it. God cares about it. I need to be very cautious that the way that I live today is consistent with my position in Christ. And I'm living in a manner that's worthy of the gospel that I've embraced. 3, God is going to reward my faithfulness or rebuke my harshness when I stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, there may be people who worked under a boss for years who is a Christian. And on that day, it's not the boss who receives the greatest reward. It may be the person that worked under them. And the reason is because God is not going to judge us on the basis of the opportunities we had, but he's going to judge us on the basis of what we did with the opportunities that we had. And those who are in authority bear a heavy responsibility. those who are managing bear a heavy responsibility. And God is going to reward me if I've been faithful. If I've been faithful serving behind the scenes, if I've been faithful leading, God is going to take note of that, and he's going to reward me for that. And if I've been harsh, and I've been abusive, and I've not been the kind of leader that I should be, God is going to deal with me on that matter. And it's important that I lead and serve as God wants me to. And the last thing that I jotted down is that if I'm an authority, I need to lead in a fair-minded, loving way. And the truth is that a lot of the people that will watch this video today are probably in some kind of authority. Either you're a mom, a dad, you might be a boss. And the truth is that this passage really is meant to challenge us and to encourage us that we handle that authority correctly. I'd like to ask you to bow together for a word of prayer, and we'll thank the Lord for the time that we've had together in his word. Father, we are so grateful that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a pattern to follow, and we also have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside of us to enable us to live out the Christian life in a very practical, Christ-centered manner. I pray that each person that has the opportunity to listen to this video today would have been challenged and encouraged in the Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to take these truths to heart and to live out these wonderful theological truths, these realities about us that we find in the Word. Help us to live them out in our daily lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. It was good to see some familiar faces. And I pray that you have a wonderful day. Bye now.